Well, I wanted to just do a couple of more Pesachei Tshuvas before going back to the Gemara. So there's one Pesachei Tshuva I didn't give you, which again I find it fascinating. There's a discussion whether or not Dam and Chalav have the same time or not.
Which
Dam and Chalav. Valid. I didn't give it to you. Why?
Did they still think milk was produced?
Because there's two deos in the Gemara. Why a nursing woman doesn't menstruate? One deo, which theoretically possible, like, which is that her body falls apart for 24 months, and it's not, she's not poseres to her normal thing until after that time period, which was a reflection that women typically nurse for 2 years. Mitzad Sheni, the other deo, which is from a technical, biological perspective, incorrect, but actually the correct, fundamentally the correct scientific approach, is that dam nechar v'naseh chalav, that the blood turned cloudy and it turned into milk. And if you actually, now that, as crazy as that sounds to you, Benji, if you look in Leonardo da Vinci, you're doing a good poker face, but I could see it. If you look in Leonardo da Vinci's anatomical drawings of the human being, you will see that in a woman, there's a large blood vessel that joins the uterus and the mammary glands. In other words, even as late as the 17th century, 16th, 17th century, they still don't have Harvey's theory of the circulation of the blood, and this theory still exists, that the reason why a nursing woman doesn't menstruate is because the blood is being converted and coming out as a different fluid. It's not scientifically correct in that sense, but it is true fundamentally that lactation stimulates the production of hormones that prevent menstruation. And that's why only women generally, the only context in which nursing serves as effective contraception is women who are nursing intensively. So it suppresses the ovulation. So in that sense, it's not that the dam is nechar v'naseh chalav, but it is in fact the nursing that is preventing the woman getting her period. Now, we could sort of, I had a chaver once, Rabbi Palmer, some of you may know, he teaches at Stern. So Rabbi Palmer, who was in Rosh Hashanah with me once, said, it means that the same systems that work to produce one are now working to produce the other, which is closer to the hormonal description, except for that's not how they understood it. As witnessed by the fact that the Gemara has a discussion in Gehoros why Chalav should it be Usur if it started out life as Dam. And by the fact that you see even in the secular world that they actually took this quite literally. And you look in the Pesachei Tshuva and they're having a discussion with the Dam Nech or Naseh Chalav, do they have the same Tam or not? And that is very much a literal manifestation.
Wasn't it obvious? Like, people drink milk. People taste blood bleeding in the mouth or whatnot. Like, it's very clear they're not the same time.
I don't know. Whatever. Okay. Nobody's ever had a cup of blood. Yes, when you do, you can taste sometimes when you cut yourself. And when you can sometimes taste something funny, right? I don't know what you're asking me. Besides, you've never tasted human milk that you remember. Okay, so I don't know if it tastes the same. I presume it does not taste like cow's milk. Yes.
This also comes up in one of the other Pesachei Tshuva. You wouldn't say that dam is the same time as gum?
I don't know that that's true.
Exactly.
I don't know that that,
make
that's
it
true.
Bad. It might just taste funny. But
I think it tastes different. I don't think that makes it pogum. I will tell you, by the way, Mati, in the discussion of the poskim, the machlokas achronim, the shchadar paskins that shkatzim or remasim, in bugs are considered dvar ma'usim. And the shach actually is not so convinced of that. And the truth is the shach is probably right in many ways. In other words, the question is, if you find something repulsive, but if you actually close your eyes and someone told you that you were tasting a new variety of honey, and it was like, even though it was crunchy, okay, everyone likes that you're eating them, right, you might actually find it appealing. There are lots of people who eat insects. It's a very healthy source of protein. Never skip on those copepods if you can't. Not sure. Yes.
I don't think we ever got into the discussion of is that a subjective measure? Is that not true?
Well, let's wait till we get to that particular issue. But yeah, let's hold off on that. Yes, Gail.
This question makes a lot more sense according to that math. They obviously don't taste the same, but you really think one is.
So I wanted to tell you, I've talked to Rabbi Schwartz about this actually. He said that the Taz and the Kuntras Achron understands the Ramah as talking about a case only where the Tam was barely any different. And for the Taz, he thinks it's Machlokas Hashach and the Taz, when the Tam, when you can't really taste it, but you taste its effect in some way, whether that's called tam or not. The Taz says not, and it's in those cases the Taz says we go basa shema, which means there's no tam. That's not going to fit here.
Yeah, the Yad HaShokhan says that too.
Right. I thought when he told me, I said that sounds like someone told me the Yad HaShokhan says. I'm not really persuaded of that, but anyway, but nonetheless, Yosef.
Is Mima Chlokas about whether blood and milk have the same taste only within the Deya that
Dam Mech Harinase Chav? Presumably.
Okay, so then how does the description of that come down, or how does the Chuvah?
I don't remember because I was more interested in the question than the answer. It's probably Mima Chlokas. Okay, so anyway, that's just a somewhat interest to other topics. Then, we mentioned Sifhei, we mentioned this already, the Noda Yehuda argues that since Tam Ke'ikar is learned from Mishras of Giulei Akum, it only applies to Isurim which are Lavim, it doesn't apply to Isurim Asay, which means that if you had, according to Noda Yehuda, if you had pig's milk that fell into a taroves, and then it was Nishbach, and you knew that you had a robe, but you didn't know whether you had Shishim, so he says it would be Mutter, because that Tam Ke'ikar is only the Rabbanon. Okay.
Would that not be
Basar Mechala? No. Firstly, maybe it's not into Basar, maybe it's into something else, number one. Number two, it's even if it were, it's still, we're dealing with a Safek Abitl, and it's only, in most Basar Mechala Darabana, because it's not Chalei Behemet Torah.
Okay.
Basar Mechala requires Basar Behemet Torah and Chalei Behemet Torah.
Okay.
Yes, yeah.
We, I think on the sheet, if we had the second half of Dalit also, so if we can talk about that, because I was a little confused as to as the second subclockel with the
Okay. Oh yes, I'm sorry. So there was a case firstly where so this case is where a small piece of meat falls in.
Okay, it's actually meat.
It wasn't mispashal completely. It was hot. It was cooking, but it didn't live there long enough to cook. And he wasn't sure with the Bashishim, but he thought it was pretty small. And so the Tshuvas Beis Ephraim has a number of tzadim by which to be made. Number one, he says that Basar Bechal that's not mispashal kemachal ben Yusai is not asur min haTorah. Number two, since the person said that it was a really small piece, so he uses the language of it's have keheter shichatfei. What I think that means is that normally when we say that something was nishbach and we don't know whether it was shishim, it means we have no idea whether there was shishim or not. But this is a case, he says, where the guy says it's a pretty small piece of meat, means he's pretty sure there was shishim, but he's not 100% sure. And may not be called a suffix anymore. That's already called a roof. A different kind of robe. In other words, was there shishim? The answer is probably yes. Not, I don't know. Could be yes, could be no, but probably yes. So that's, I think, what he means by heter shchicha. It means it's more likely that it was mutter than not.
I suppose on that note, I guess just a question.
His conclusion was, in that case, you could use a kvela mesiach lefitumah.
Or even a yisrael.
Tima ba'alma.
Which, by the way, this answer would tell you that Rabbi Eger's explanation of why the Rama Asim Kvelas is completely incorrect. Because he's assuming that you can use the double advantage of a Kvela and Mesiach.
Okay, it means the Beis Ephraim would disagree with it.
Right.
Eger. Okay.
So
that's not a surprise. Okay, yes.
So, in general, when we say that for Minduino, if you're sure that you had a robe, then since Midoraisa Ruba Batil for Minduino, that and then it becomes a subject of Rabbanon, whether it's one
Shishim.
Shishim. So it becomes mutter. So what if does that apply even if you're like pretty confident that like it was Rove and not 1 in 60?
No, so I think the answer is if you think it is more likely that there wasn't Shishim than there was, so I think that may not be called a sink of the Rabbanon anymore. That's already you're essentially not three of that. I think it has to be a case where you really don't know. I think that's his point. If we sue a shpicha, I'm not sure we would say sveka or nabana.
Okay, we were talking about that.
Sveka means, I think, normally, either you can attribute 50% or you just don't have any idea, so we treat it as such.
It just sounds, the way the Shulchan formulates it just sounds like more of a binary. Like if you're sure that there was, if no dashay rugo hetzer, what's there? Right? If you low no dashay rugo hetzer.
But, what's that?
In other words, like it also it seems weird, right? In the beginning of Sith Days.
What's that mean? Now the whole point, his language is.
I guess in the case of Nishbach, it's not necessarily as obvious.
Now, if the question is, she'en yachon lama v'lal b'shara, you just don't know. There's no way. What's the shishim, what's the shishim, I don't know. Jonathan?
How do you have a case of, you don't have no idea if it's shishim, if it's eino makiro, then how do you, like, you turn around and someone mounted something for them, but eino makiro, but then how, if you want makiro, how do you know it's even
there? You know it fell in, but you can't, you don't know how much fell in.
But it means you saw it fall in, no?
Well, like,
yeah, but you, It's sort of like there was some stuff on the counter, you don't know how much, you turned around, your dog came in, made a little mess, and then the Isser is missing, and then all of a sudden you realize, oops, it must have fallen into the Heter.
But you just happened to not notice how much it was.
Yeah, you didn't know how much was there in the first place. Right? Or you didn't know how much Heter there was, and it spilled down. So now you don't know, you know how much Isser fell in, you just don't know how much Heter there was in the first place. You know, there was a lot of Heter there, but was it 60 ounces, was it 40 ounces? I have no idea.
You're assuming that was this case? Because it says Vasilko Miyad Babasarneva. I thought that means you removed it and then like it fell into the river or something.
What's that? Yeah. And
it's
you don't
not
know.
In there anymore.
Correct.
Not because it dissolved, because you got rid of it.
Correct, but either way it wouldn't matter.
Also why? Once you know it's Tirabanan here,
yeah.
Why then does it need to be carved to Shishim? Is that just the case he was asked?
No, you require you need Shishim in the Rabbanan.
Oh.
If you knew they weren't Shishim, it'd be awesome.
Meaning, he says
to Pichadash that you need Machal as your cipher to be Jarabana.
Oh, but not everyone's going to hold that this is Jarabana. Is that why he has to be...
He wants more study.
He wants both of these.
Right, that's a chiddush.
But if it was something that you knew was Jarabana, then obviously you wouldn't need Karabla Shishim. You would just
correct.
Not
suffix. You just need a suffix.
Also, when he says at the end, if you want to be Machmir, you don't need to be Machmir for Hanav, but just for Achila.
Right.
That's not about after the Kfela already checked it and said, I don't taste anything, or that's...
I think
the point of being machmir at that point for
you could say it either way. I don't. You have
or is
to.
Is it the stage before that even being machmir?
You have to look.
The
you have to look at the original shuv. It's clear. I don't know. I not, do not look at the original shuv. Okay, and then sif paches in the b'shtei shuvah. It's a kadosh. You
see. Because you said that even if it kind of like breaks apart in the dish, that's considered to be. But how? I thought. But isn't the case? But how is that different from like liquids? Like, and in the case of the udder, isn't like the milk?
So, sorry, your question again.
You said that net. That's something which is kind of like dissolves in the mixture is considered to be neva.
Okay.
So, but how does the? But isn't the case of let's say of the udder? Isn't that a case? You can't find the milk anymore, but it's just kind of like. So
okay.
But in that case, we say that it's lithanenu, and that therefore we can't go lupula in that case.
So I asked that question yesterday. In other words, the classic case of chisaron bikias, according to the Taz. In other words, if it's a chisaron in your bikias, then nobody knows how to be mishar the kal. Even when you have the kal in front of us, you can't figure out exactly how much milk was in there. That's the problem. So it should be treated as a bona fide suffix.
Right, so that's just like a question.
Yeah, in other words, if that's the marker for the din, then even if it's not just the suffix in your bikis, it's suffix in everybody's bikis, it should be no good. So the Taz was bothered by that question, and he comes up with the answer that we mentioned yesterday.
Okay, so any time that liquid falls in,
so that's, all right, so I'm, one of the comments I want to make, I want to look at Sifkat and Ches, is from this, the tshuva that he quotes, it sounds as if you were there when it fell in, we don't treat that. That's a suffix in your bikias. Now, no one knows, but maybe somebody else watching would have known. But if a katan or a goy tossed some dam into the stew, and you weren't there, then he says that's. So, if you look at sifkat and ches for a moment, I am a tshuva simun shmuel simun chabal shekasa bekatan or goy shesemu dam bekidera shabaser v'yaduah shnisbata boro el a suffix im yeshishim keva the dam shebishlo the rabbanon. You've no way you could possibly know. And no one, I'm sorry, could possibly know. So first point on observation here that a couple of you asked me, There's a Gemara Menachos Daf Chafal that says black and white that if you take dam and you cook it, it's no longer Inisa Daraisa to eat it. It's Pasul Agabe and Mizbeach in this context, this dam, and there's no I think in was Harnalav was the Gemara's expression or something like that. There is, however, Machlokas Rishona whether we pass like this Gemara. I think Chachmei Ashkenaz, I think all pass like this Gemara. I don't know if it splits in Chachmei Sfarad, but I know the Rambam holds that dam Shabishlo is Daraisa. He must have another sugya or read the sugya differently, whatever it is. It's not our topic. If you're doing malicha, I'd spend some time on dam shavishlo. But the bottom line is the Abunas Shmuel is assuming that dam shavishlo is only the Rabbanan, and there's real basis for that. And therefore he says this is only a shayla of the Rabbanan, and since you weren't there, it was a katan or a goy who tossed it in. That's like nishvach. That's the equivalent. And he says, v'kosha kein l'tam haran, kevan demilsa deloshchichahu, certainly, for the Ran, it should be mutter. If the Ran says the difference between Nishbach and a regular case of Kal, a regular case of Safek, is that Nishbach is unusual. It's a Milsa L'Shchicha. But if by even a regular thing you were to say, well, if you don't know that's a Safek, the Ran says you would do away with it. Everything would be a Safek. And you do away with certainly all the assumed Rabbanans. Okay. He wasn't... The Pesachei Tshuva concludes that he wasn't machle if the matter is a lemaisa, although it looks like the prechadash may have been. Two other ha'aros about this, one which I don't know the answer to, but if you'll notice in the Pesachei Tshuva, the comment is, huva beber heitev sifchat anyud. I wonder what the Pesachei Tshuva had in front of him when he wrote. Because he typically, maybe I'm mistaken, but I thought he commonly ends up quoting the Shach and the Taz via the Ver Hetev, not directly from the Shach and the Taz. And I don't know why that is. Unless he had a Shulchan Aruch that didn't have the Shach and Taz, which is kind of hard to imagine. But if you actually look, it's very common. He never tells you, I bet you if you look even early in the Siman, he doesn't tell you to look in the Taz. He says, look in the Ver Hetev, it quotes the Taz. But the Ver Hetev, at least in Yerodea, as far as I can tell, does nothing but quote the Shach and the Taz. So it's not like he adds anything. So why is it that the Pesachei Tshuva is always appealing to the Bar Hitev, not directly to the Shach and the Taz? The second observation is a comment he quotes in the Prima Gadim, which is particularly odd if he has the Prima Gadim, because the Prima Gadim is just a commentary on the Shach and Taz. Even though there are Goyim, he doesn't formulate this, but I think he's saying that there's no issue of. You don't say, well, now it's a chisaron and bekias, because a guy could actually tell you. Why? Because we hold you can't ask a guy. So that's basically e'esher levara. Right? In other words, what he's alluding to or hinting to is that for the first reason in the Shach, not the Ran, but the first reason in the Shach is, the reason why chisaron and bekias isn't a chisaron and bekias is that you say das shotem is not das. It's not a suffix, because you don't know doesn't make it a suffix. You don't know means you're an idiot. Doesn't mean that it's actually a suffix. So if you don't know, but the guy can tell you, maybe it means it's not a suffix, because the guy can tell. In other words, anything that's esher levarer, it's not called a suffix. You should be mevarer. You don't know how to be mevarer, that's your problem, but that doesn't make it a suffix. Also, here we have a guy could be mevarer, where the answer is, once the halacha says, we don't consult the guy, that's called esher levarer. Okay. Any questions? You're reverting to old form.
I know.
Moshe, you're going to have to give him like four cards he gets to ask. Right? And he tosses each one into the ring after he asks. And you collect them. Yeah?
So at what point did we toss them to the nether? Did we throw it in the garbage and mixed it in? Or you can still extract it?
If you can reach into the garbage and pull it out, that's fine. Do you have to put on a pair of gloves and sort through 20 pounds of garbage to find it? I don't know. Okay, back to the Gemara. On Tzadi Tes Amabez. And Yossi, stop asking questions and read.
I won't actually get to it, but I'm still happy to start reading.
What's that?
We didn't actually get
to it. Okay. Weinreich, senior. Okay. You're next. Go ahead. This cover is next. Amar Ahuna. Sorry, tell us what it is. Did you get to read this already?
No, we didn't.
Okay. David is quickly slipping away. Who did read this Gemara? Who had seen it already? Chef,
go for it.
Amar Huna, or Ketzim Sharina. Amar Huna, Kevasar, Drashe,
and what did the Mishnah say?
Delefeth,
right? So he's qualifying to say the Rashi of the Fasas. What are Rashi of the Fasas? So Rashi thinks that Rashi of the Fasas are the head of the fruit as opposed to the tail of the fruit. I don't know which side of the turnip is the head, which is the tail. But he said that the head, Rashi thinks, is sweeter than the tail is more bland, and meat in the bland is easier to taste, so it's actually a coolet or hunas given.
She refers to like the leaves on top of the actual, like, the top half of like the thing itself.
I don't know, I've never seen a turnip as whole. What?
We Googled it. There are leaves on top, like the top half is like pink and the body is like white.
Now, where are the roots of it?
It's a pole.
Right. So Tosus thinks the rush and the fussus are the roots. And he doesn't talk about, I think, whether or not which is more tasty, which is less tasty. But Rashi understands that one part of it is sweeter than the other. But I don't know.
The bulb is sweeter.
I think he's talking about
the
green
bulb
part.
Is generally, it couldn't be left head is the bulb. Like, say, like, the yarmulke is like the bulb.
Isn't it like there? Turnips are like round, right?
It is, yeah.
Like, and then you should have probably like a green.
Yeah, there's a stalk on top of it.
That's what grows out of it.
Yeah.
Right, and the turnip grows underneath the ground. So I would have imagined, so Rashi probably would say that the Rashi and the Fasos are the round part.
But he says Yerek, so I would think he means the green part, which is...
Right. Zobi and David also thought it was the green part.
Okay, fine. I would have thought that the turnip part would be the Masa, but okay, maybe the green part is the Masa, okay, I don't know.
Assuming the whole turnip tastes the same, even though, like, technically there's different colors on the turnip, like the bowl of the turnip, like,
Okay, I don't know. So apparently you have to add that to the list, Andy, of things we taste at the end of the year. Okay, we never did turnips before. I guess there's always a first. David?
No, I was going to suggest, it's like round on top and then it narrows down through stem, which I thought was Rashi's sonata, because he's talking about the tail that kind of like the bottom. And then
I don't need to. I don't, we'll say this.
We'll have it right here.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, I understand. So the
I like a turnip.
Right. So the Rashi. It sounds like it's the Yerek, and Tosus says it's probably the part underground. And are there roots? Are there little roots that come out from the bulbs to the ground?
Yeah.
Right. So I think that Tosus means those roots. And Rashi sounds like he means the green. I see it. I can see. I got it. Yes, okay. I've seen turnips.
No, as far as you don't. What looks like a head looks like a.
What's that?
I don't know if the green is.
We don't eat the green, actually. But I will tell you, by the way, one of the interesting things, and I don't know if it's true. I don't know what's the case by these vegetables. It's like horseradish, for example, right? It's clear that horseradish, what people eat, is not good for Rashi Mara. What could be is the green, the leaves of the horseradish might qualify. We have a tendency, we often don't recognize actually what is good to eat, right? You know, if you think about the American suburban lawn, right? What do we do to lawns? We plant grass and we try to get rid of
weeds.
Right? The weeds are actually the edible part. You can take the weeds with minimal raw or minimal amount of cooking. Dandelions are very expensive when you go to the supermarket to buy them. We do crazy things. You should go out to your backyard and you could pick salad if you didn't have people putting fertilizer and weed killer down. Right? I'm not kidding. What's that?
There's wheat growing in my backyard.
Nature actually grows useful things for us, and we do the stupid thing of putting in green grass that only cows can eat or goats can eat that human beings can't eat because we can't digest the cellulose. The actual stuff that you could use for your budget, you could save both on the lawn guys and on your food bill by letting the weeds grow and eating healthy salads. Yes, Metzger. I can see it. This house for sure.
Do
they even know what are vegetables in your house? I know. I saw dinner in your house is they just take for the four of you, just take a cow and put it on the table. Okay.
I mean, we do, but I actually say a little healthy.
Yeah.
It's a garnish. But you actually do that in your backyard?
What's that?
Do you actually do that in your backyard?
No, I just have my gardener not put down pesticides because it's really bad for the environment. So, but it's tempting. My wife would think I was crazy at that point, but so. You have to do something. She'd be right, probably. She's probably right anyway, but you heard that.
Apparently, turnip leaves are eaten in their food, and they're supposed to be edible.
Oh, with the green part.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised at all. I think it's us. I think it's in America that we don't do these things. I wouldn't be surprised if there are people who do.
It's a common side dish in Southeast.
It's perfectly good for salads.
And it's a common side dish in Southeast in the United
States. A lot of those things, it's good to probably lightly, you know, braise or something like that. But basically, that's all. There are people, and if there are people who go out in the city, they typically tend to be of other ethnicity. In other words, I think Koreans and people of Greek origin. Who will go out and they actually, you know, they forage in city parks, which is a favorite to the city because it gets rid of the weeds that apparently they want to get rid of, and you have to get there fast. But apparently a lot of the stuff that people often hate and avoid is actually very good for you. So anyway, so Rashi says it's the era. Tosa sounds like it's those roots that come out of the turnip on the other side. Okay. So, Gemara continues.
Season to low kihai katana, the tanya of Ishmael Benoshla Rabiokan Ben Taroka Omer, Ain Begidin Benosei Matan.
And our mission is obviously not like that because if you held that Ain Begidin Benosei Tan, you wouldn't have a problem. What's that?
You don't give a share of Benosei Tan.
Correct, because there's no Tan. Rashi writes here, by the way, on the Maskana, that's only on the Gid, not on the Shuman. But that was actually two Deus and Tosos on Tatsa Design Amin Allah. If the Gid itself has not the capacity to be Benosei Tan, Then also the Shuman we ignore as well, even though it can be no Saint Tom, because it's a Chumra, the Shuman. You know, the Shuman is Moto, but the Yisrael Kedoshim Heim Benogabo Isser, so the Isser of the Shuman is only the end, but it can't ask more than the Gid. There's another very, yeah.
Is this against the Passover yesterday? Is that the thing itself, not the things that are only Asser because of the thing itself, can't ask it?
I think I liked it when you were back there better. can't see. So actually there's another very interesting thing. I don't want to dwell at length, but a fascinating issue that emerges as well from the Psak of Ein Begin to Menosei Tam. Tosus writes on the bottom of the page, if you hold Ein Begin to Menosei Tam, then again Anashas Asar B'Hanah. And the nafkamina is that you would not, I'll explain why in a second, you wouldn't be able to send the full hindquarters, the Meloah, to a guy because the fact that you... The Gid is there means it's more, you know, full, and you're being nene from the Gid Anasha. Now, why does Tosa say at Ein Begin and Menosei Tam that the Gid Anasha is Asur Bahana? So Tosa points out that there's a machlokas in Pesachim, famous machlokas. It's quoted, I forget where, I think in Avodah Zarah also, in the second Torah. When the Torah says you're not allowed to eat something, does that imply an Isser Hanah as well, or only an Isser Achila? And Rabbi Abahu says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that Komakom Shenemar LaYochal LaSochel LaSochlu Echad Isser Achila VeEchad Isser Hanah B'Mashma. Everything is prohibited. Meaning Achila is just a quintessential kind of Hanah, but it's not only Achila. Achu Yifrot L'cha Kasa Kederet Sheparat L'cha B'Nevela. Until the Torah gives you a heter to get hana from it, like it does by nevela. By nevela it says lo sochuchon nevela. Then the Torah turns around and says la gerash arvasherecha tenena b'chala o machor l'nachri. So the question is, why does the Torah have to give you a heter to sell or to give away the nevela? Of course, it's only asur b'achila. The answer is no. It's asur b'hana until the Torah gives you the heter. So it's one of those sugyas in Shas where the Gemara tries to work, goes back and forth and asks questions in different cases, and it turns out there's almost no machlokas. And at the end of the sugya, the Gemara has to come up with this, like, so what's an aftamina in the end? Because they all agree that this one, the Torah says you can't eat it, but there's an extra rebuy to tell you it's mutarana. And this one, they all agree, even Chizkiah, who says when the Torah says achila, it only means achila, but even Chizkiah agrees that this one is asarbana. So what's an aftamina? The Gemara comes up with some relatively obscure aftamina. There are a number of sugyas and shas like that, where it's sort of a conceptual argument underneath of what's going on, but all the dinim are already known. So the Gemara in that context of that sugya says, you know how you know that a gid is mutar bahana? How do you know a gid is mutar bahana? And they quote the Mishnayos in our parak early, where it sounds like Yisholeach Adam Yerach Lanachri V'gid Anasha B'socha. So you see it's mutar bahana. The answer is that Kishotro Nevela Hutrahi V'chalba V'gida V'dama. In other words, when the Torah was matish nevela, it was matish selling the entire nevela, which means that the chelav of the nevela, and the dam of the nevela, and the basar of the nevela, it's a given, and the gidanash of the nevela, are obviously all mutter Why? Because they're all considered, they're all be considered bechal basar, right? And they're all considered titnan of achala. So you see that those things are mutar b'hanah, because if they're mutar b'hanah by nevela, you're allowed to sell the achila to a guy, titnan of achala or machol and achari. Then you see that those things are mutar b'hanah, and mutar b'hanah by nevela is certainly mutar b'hanah by ekshera. So Tosa says the following, the Gemara says, but the Gemara says that if in fact get anasha, eimi gidim in osein tam, then it means there's no isser of eating the Geranasha of Nevela per se. Why? Because it has no Tam of Nevela. In other words, it was never Bichlal the Heter of Nevela. Because it was never Usser Migdin Nevela. Why? Because it has no taste. You're allowed to eat the non-marrow bones of a Nevela if you want. Minat Torah certainly. Why? Because it's not Achila. So if that's the case, if Geranasha ain't Begidim in Osei Tam, then Geranasha by Nevela is not called eating Nevela. It still may be called eating Geranasha. And therefore, the Gemara says, but what if you hold Ein Megidim in Osein Tam? The Gemara says, they hold like Rabbi Shimon, that Giranasha is Aser B'Hanah. So that's what Tosaf says. Moshe?
If it's Aser B'Hanah, then while the animal is still alive, are you able to benefit from it?
How are you not benefiting from it? You know, you say, because the animal can walk in the Giranasha's part of the system.
Yeah, you're allowing your fields.
Yeah. Okay. So that assumption is that you're not being nene primarily. That's a zebzeh goren, if you'd like to call it that. I know there may not be.
What does that phrase mean?
It means there are multiple factors contributing to the hanah of the field, not just the geranasha. I may be misusing that concept here, but I'll leave it at that. But interestingly enough, the Rambam paskins that ain begidim in osein tam as the gemara, and the Rambam paskins that geranasha is mutar b'hanah. So I'm not going to explore why. It has to do with the continuation of the sugya, where the gemara may present an alternative approach. But Tosus here says that Giranasha, if you hold Ein Megidim, at the same time, Giranasha is Asur B'Hanah. Reuven?
Why does Ein Benotein Tam mean that it itself has no Tam?
Because the expression that's used earlier is that Ein Begidim Benotein Tam, but Eitz B'Almahi V'Torah Asratim. It's like a piece of wood, and the Torah prohibited. So I understand what you're saying. You're saying maybe... You know, the assumption also is if it has its own flavor, it can give off some flavor. But yeah, I understand what you're asking. But that's why. Okay, so now the Gemara tells a couple of interesting stories.
Why is the fact that it's not Mosein Tam that it's
Asur Dana? Because the Torah said, according to Rabbi Abom, Rabbi Yochanan, the Torah says, Lo yochlu mene yisras gidan asheh. Left alone, that means it's Asur Bano, not just Achila. Unless you have a heter for Achila. So the Gemara says the heter is, when the Torah was matir nevela, it was matir eating every part that's asur because of nevela. So anything in a nevela animal that's is asur mishum besar nevela is asur, which would include he, v'chelba, chel of nevela, v'gida. Okay, I don't remember, I don't think Dam is in there. So the Gemara then asks, but that only works if you hold yesh begidim in osein tam. So which means that all the gidim, not just the gidin asha, but all the gidim of nevela, are usher to eat because they are besar nevela, and the Torah was matir them b'hanah. In which case, if all the gidin, including the gidin asha, are mutar by nevela, then of course they're mutar by a shchuta as well. But if you hold that ein megidim in osein tam, so there's no issur in eating the gid min haTorah of any gid of the nevela, with the exception of the gidin asha, because it's gidin asha, not because it's nevela. In which case, the Torah was never explicitly matir. When the Torah was matir nevela anah, it was matir the things that are usher mishum nevela anah. But maybe in Echanami, you're not allowed to give the geranasha of a nevela separately to a goy, because that's being nana from it. And it was never bechlal the heter of nevela of anah, because it was never usher in the first place because of nevela, because it has no flavor, so it's not besar nevela. So the Gemara answers and says, yes, that would be Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, Ein Megidim Osein Tam. Rabbi Shimon says, geranasha is usher b'hanah.
We obviously don't hold that way.
The Rambam splits the Psak. Yeah. Tosaf seems to hold that way. I know. In Shulchan Aruch, I doubt we say get an answer. I actually don't know.
You know how to trade for it, and you have to, so you can't sell it. You might as well use it for
kosher. No, not the four high quarters, just the git itself.
Yeah, but if you're selling the whole thing, then you're selling it to the non-Jew.
Yeah, but you're not. But Tosaf asks that question. Tosaf says, how are you allowed to sell it? And again, he says, because the guy's not buying the git. He's buying the rest of it. Just the git happens to be in there. The git is of no use to him. That's what Tosa says. Tosa says, okay, he says the only time that it'd be an is if you're selling the gid shalim and it looks more popped up because the gid is in there, you know, and it's more inflated, so then he says that would be an isar hana. The Rambam paskins, though, that there's no isar hana by the gid anosha. Okay, continue on.
I would also
come to
Rabbi
Hanina.
I also Rabbi Yehuda bar Zavina Baba.
So Rabbi Yehuda bar Zavina is sitting on a step by the gate. He was like the paparazzi of the ancient world. We wanted to find out what was that psak that that the Rabbi Hanina gave. All right, so he doesn't like the psak. So Amalei. So ask him again. He must not have understood your shayla. So. So funny. Right. Go tell the guy who's sitting at. Go tell that kochlefel sitting on the step that the you know that pest. Go tell him. In beginning of the time. Now, here's actually the important line. It's the only reason I wanted you to do this part of the Gemara, other than we might as well just do the whole sugya because it's the same piece. This is the part actually very significant. Alright, so the last part is not part of that story. That's the Gemara's maskana. But it's a very interesting observation, and you will get Rabbanim who did this, opposed to do this. For a machmir in a particular issue, but if someone comes and asks them the shayla, they'll say, go ask somebody else. Sometimes even directing them to whom to ask. Which is a very, very interesting point and comment. Right? As someone, when you ask the shayla sometimes, and you don't see grounds for heter, so sometimes the wise thing to do is to say, I can't answer that question, why don't you ask so-and-so? Obviously, it raises some. There are some fundamental questions to be raised here. I know personally, if I were asked an ethical question, I thought that it was pretty clear the ethics on this. And there were other people who took positions that I found, you know, maybe it's only because it's an area of ethics that I would find so it to be troubling. And I thought wrong. I'm not sure I'd be so fast to send somebody. But if you're talking about Issa Vehet there, and obviously he's assuming Rabbi Shua Bar Levi is a Bar Samcha, so the answer is you don't need to be Machmir. You could send it to somebody else. Right? If you ask me, can I make tea or coffee in a cliche on Shabbos? My answer is no, but I might tell you, go ask your shechter. I know, go, because there are people who hold otherwise. I don't want to necessarily recognize that there are people who see differently, even though I think it's, to me, it seems pashut that it's a chiyuv chatas. That's where the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan both hold, it seems to be pashut. But I know that there are gedolim and tovim men who think differently, so if you ask me the question, I'm probably going to tell you, go ask so-and-so, don't ask me. Your shechter holds that, but the rab, and they say chai.
So not Rav Moshe,
like, no, not Rav Moshe. No, but that was there's a famous story of Rav Shechter's oldest daughter in the Cholah. They were teaching them halacha. This goes back to, you know, 30 years ago, and they said that nobody holds you can make teeth in a cliche in a Shabbos. She raised her hand and says, "My house they do," and they didn't believe her. And they called Rav Shechter and said, "Yeah, that was the Rav's position. I think that was Rav Chaim's position that there's no bishul cliche at all." Right. So in my house, we don't make tea in a cliche, or in a cliche, or in a cliche, right? What's that? That's it. Hell, it was a shita.
Right.
It was a shita. They're principled, not necessarily machmir. Maybe principled to a fault, but they're not. They probably have more chumers than kulas, but bottom line is they're very principled. That family is very principled people. Okay, fine. So, I do wonder what happens when you get a shayla that you don't know the answer to. You don't have a shita on, and you know if they called X, they'll get answer 1, and call Y, they'll get answer 2. What do you do in that case? Is that the same thing as this, or does that not apply because you don't have a shita?
And you don't know because you haven't researched it properly, or you didn't.
Because you can't be machmir. I mean, years ago. No, I thought about that, but it almost seems like the counter view on that, I think, is that if I am in fact a bar hachi entitled to an opinion on this particular matter, I have certain bias on the issue, and it means I'm in a position to say I think X is correct, but now I acknowledge the reality of Y shita, as opposed to some person who's not in the position of answering the question because he can't, now simply steering the person to the more maker one. I'm not saying you're wrong. I don't know quite how to process it, right? Years ago, I wasn't even Muslim yet, and I wouldn't answer the question probably now either. Maybe I would now, I'm not sure. I got a question from a friend whose grandparents, and he wasn't asking me per se the Shaila, but he called me about it, looking for guidance where to go about a grandparent who was on life support, who I think was already, they decided, brain dead. And it wasn't an organ donation issue, it was a question of how they had to keep them on the respirator until they actually died. What could they pull it off? And I said, I don't know what to tell you. If you call Rabbi Tendler, he's going to give you one answer. If you call Rabbi Vlad, he's going to give you a different answer. So you know that as well as I do. You can read their articles. How do you decide what to do? I don't know. So maybe it's the same thing. Maybe I'm supposed to tell them all, call Rabbi Tendler in this case, because I don't know. It's just complicated. The only clear data point I have is this. Okay. Continue. Gira Noshesh to the Spashel. All right, Beri Ashani and Tosa says Apilu Elef Lobatil. There is a funny shita, I think that of the Rash, based upon Yerushalmi, who claims that a Beria is Betela in 976.
Where did that come from?
No, I think it's 976. What's that? Or maybe it's 968. Is it 190? Well, I think it's 968. It's 192 times.
Oh, yeah.
No, that doesn't work. What is it? It's,
well, 969 is 33.
Maybe there's one in. It's some one in 960. Excuse me. One in 960 is the Shita. I don't know. It's based upon a Yerushalmi. Whatever. Okay. That would be relevant for the copepods. Maybe. If I could see that, yes. Yeah.
So, a beria, just when you say it's not batel, does that always mean you can't eat something with a beria in it? Like, what if there's
yes.
a almost 0% chance? What if you take your serving size, it's like a 1 in a million chance there's a beria in it? Because you took it from a giant container that had one bottle.
I think it's still awesome.
I think it's still awesome?
Yeah.
But it's only 1 in a million chance?
Yeah. There's no bittel for a beria. If you know this, a beria in this tarot.
Well, it's not
about
bittel. I'm talking about you just different halakha. Dini, like me with the matzoi, like things we say on Shabbos, about crossing where you know you'll step on a bug, you know any given case.
Totally different areas.
I understand
that,
yeah, but I was...
Now, once the beria is in this tarot, you don't know where it is, you can't eat any of the tarot. Unless you can ascertain that in that part of the tarot, it's not there. If you can strain that part of the tarot, where you know, there's no, and now you know there's no bug, so that part you can eat. But as short of that, you can't. What's that?
Also implies that it's kavua, but
No. That's totally unrelated. It has nothing to do with his question. Ketosis is addressing a totally separate question. What happens if one of them was Torish on its own?
Right.
And now, no, it's not actually kavua.
It's a kavua.
I understand that.
The normal circumstance, if you were to take something out of the mixture, of it is kavua.
No. Meikar adin, it's not kavua. It's not kavua, the isser is not meikar. The reason why, if one was poresh out of this tarobes, bedina should have been correct, is because it's no longer kavua, it's not nikar b'mkomo. Kavua has to be, in the kavua men haTorah, has to be a situation where the iser is nikar, where it is. But here, it's not nikar at all. So it's already not in the bin of kavua, midin Torah. Let's put aside this process for the moment. We'll probably deal with this when we go to Simon Kofiut. The only interesting part in Tosus, by the way, is the last line. Tosus writes, on the last wide line, the fourth four wide lines, that's what the Gemara applies to the Bata Baruba. This is the Macha that Yavish B'Yavish is Bata Barov. And Tosa says, as long as it's not a barrier or Chaticha Rizkabed, even in Isamid Rabbanon, there is not only, it says maybe one person shouldn't eat all of it. Right? That's the third Shita. Right? There are four Shitas. One person, the Rush says one person can eat them all at the same time or one sandwich. The Rosh Vashi says that one person can eat all three of them, but you can't eat all three at once. You can eat two and then one. And then the position of Tosos, that maybe one person can eat all three, but two people could together eat all three. And then the Marami Rittenberg used to take one and throw it to a dog, and then someone could eat the rest. Yes?
Meaning, had it not been the case of Yidin, but it had been Lach Balach, the question would have been a Jubato Bashisha, right? That would have been the Gemara's question.
Had it been Lach Balach, correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay, then the Gemara says, continue. So the Mishnah in Orla that we learned about Davar Shadak Limanus and Rabbi Meir Shita, this is a machlokas Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan in Beitza in the first parak and somewhere else also, as to whether or not what is the Nusach HaMishnah? Is the Nusach HaMishnah Kol Shadak Limanus? Is the Nusach HaMishnah Esh Shadak Limanus? Esh Shadak Limanus is much more narrow. It means things that are always sold only by minion. Whereas Kol Shadak Limanus could be something you sometimes would sell by minion. So the Gemara says as follows. If you hold that Kol Shadak Limanus, so sometimes people do in fact buy things by the slice. Right? We typically, by the way, do not buy things by the slice when it comes to meat. I don't think you've ever walked at the market, supermarket and say, I'll pay X dollars for one slice of meat. Right? We virtually always sell our meat by weight. Right? A more fancier cut might be more expensive per pound, but our meat is not a davar shebe minyan. So the Gemara says, if you hold kol shadak limanos, okay, so apparently for them, sometimes you bought a slice of meat, you know, and assuming that slices were roughly the same size. However, if it's eshadak limanos, if that's the nusach of the Mishnah, so why does the Mishnah say it's not betela? After all, it's not a davar, it's not eshadak limanos, so the chaticha should be betela. It shouldn't have chashivas. In other words, the fact that when you buy it, it's bought by, it's not always bought by number, means it doesn't have hashivas with respect to bittul, right? The issue of beria and what we're dealing with here is that something can have such significance in its own right that it's just not subject to bittul. We can't say as if it's not there. So the Gemara says, what's the answer? Right, so it's not because you buy it only in numbers, it's because this chaticha has a special kind of use. When you serve it, right, you put the steak down in front of a guest. Right? And you can see, by the way, I think even the way sometimes we have to buy this meat, typically for Friday night, we get what they call these steak strips at one of the Grand and Essex cells. Okay? It's from one of the better cuts of the animal, otherwise sometimes known as a California roast, and that's what some stores call it. Each one, some have a different one. Grand Essex calls it a Delmonico roast. That's the worst part of all, trying to figure out what's the same thing in two different stores. Anyway, so sometimes my wife will take, normally she doesn't actually take the whole piece, but sometimes she takes it and she will just maybe put a whole piece or cut it in half and put it out on the plate and people can take a whole chunk. And sometimes she used to really actually cut it into smaller strips and you take them. So the truth is, in both cases, it's neither chaticha riliskabe. But if she in fact did serve whole ones and put it out, that would be a chaticha riliskabe v'nei orchim. Once she chops it up, it means it's no longer called the chaticha riliskabe v'nei orchim. Right? Because the way you serve it is not by serving a piece of meat. So when you get a rib steak, that is a chaticha ruah d'skabeh. Typically, you serve it, you know, personally, pretend the room. That's a chaticha ruah d'skabeh. Okay. Fine. So now the Gemara just gives it tzrichasah. Go ahead. Okay, so I could have thought that each one had an adifus as to why it would not be betela. Beria. The pronunciation, by the way, is beria, even though the hypercorrectors would say bria, but it's wrong. It should be bria, and it should be priya and revia, but if you look in the vocalized Mishnah manuscripts, it's period of revia. Probably it could be beria as opposed to beria, but those are equivalent vowels, essentially. What?
Jashra vowelized it with the hearing.
Right. So the segel and the chibrik are close enough vowels there anyway. It's really just a reflection of dialect. That's what happens in language sometimes. In other words, it may have started out in one particular form, as in like bria, and then the aleph elided, became a bria. But I'll give you another example of this. Those of you who actually pay attention to, if you have a good vocalized unclus, how should it go? I don't know if it's in the reverse direction. I think this is actually oddly the reverse. That's the reverse. Yivar becomes Yivar, I think, in the good vocalized emphasis, which is the reverse. It's the chirik sliding one way. But in this case, the chirik slides back. So the pronunciation is beria or birya. So birya, you would say, that's special. Why? Because that's a whole creation of God. But chaticha has already been cut up. It's not the whole animal in its own right. On the other hand, Maybe thought that a chaticha would be nafetela because it's really skabi b'vnei orchem. Whereas a beria, if your goal is to alienate someone, you know, and you're, let's say, president of Yeshiva University, and you invite a wealthy donor to a dinner at your house, and you serve him a gitan nasha, you probably are trying to push him out of giving money to your institution. Or better, someone comes in and you put a single grasshopper on his place. Somebody doesn't hop away. David? What's that? Nouvelle Cuisine or something like that. Yeah, okay.
I'm just curious if you have, let's say, these Hatikva Shiro and the Escambia book, and, you know, you piece in their trade, you don't know which one it is. Would you be able to intentionally cut them up into smaller pieces?
That's Mevatla Mishlachatila, that's the next Simon.
But it's a different, the normal Mevatla Mishlachatila, it's not that you're adding more and now it's also...
So it actually fundamentally doesn't add up, but if it's normal to cut it up, then it might not be. In other words, if the normal thing is to cut it up, you didn't plan to leave it as such, that might not be.
Like, let's say the example that you're saying with buying a house with that particular piece of meat. You have the option beforehand to serve it one way or the other, and now you're intentionally choosing.
So there's a simen in Beria, that's simen kof, I think, and the simen on a chatecha, I may be off by one. Chatecha, I think it's kof. Kof aleph will be chatecha or the skabit. So we'll discuss when we get there. Jonathan?
I also assume Beria means like that is the entire creature.
So we have to talk about what's the definition of beria as well. The Gemara, this obviously is an essential part of the definition. Okay, so tomorrow I'm going to stop here. I'm going to give you your 7 or 8 minutes. I encourage you to talk about it, make a commitment, a reasonable commitment for you, not an unreasonable commitment. And Danny, I believe in charge of you, but if you get it to me, I will relay it to the. Another thing, you should plan to deliver the money as immediately as possible. You know, if you have it on you, you should collect it now because it's always better not to take it out. Better tova. Well, that's all right. But if you put it together and give me a total, I will relay it to the fundraiser, and we can try to spread it around.
I suggest we do in order so that nobody feels any undue pressure.